2 Timothy chapter 1. And let me say that I'm not a real big fan of bluegrass music. Don't write me off. Don't write me off. I think maybe I'd rather hear Andrea Bocelli and maybe Sarah Brightman sing. But I'm not a great fan of bluegrass music, but I'm getting there. So hold on. Hold on. I'm going to say small, I don't know what term to use, maybe a limited station in Burlington. It's not very strong, but it's a Christian station, but they play mainly, others do, but mainly bluegrass gospel, some country. And it's growing on me. I listen to the station, and it's growing on me. So don't give up on me. Don't write me off. I like Quicksilver. How many are familiar with Quicksilver? My goodness, only one or two hands. Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. I like them. I like some other groups too. But one song that Quicksilver sings, I'm sure other groups sing it, "Hold On a Little Longer, Help Is On the Way." I don't know whether Doyle Lawson wrote it, but Quicksilver plays it and sings it. A woman in the Bible, day is her last meal almost gone, but God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, "Woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today." And before you even asked him, help was on the way. And the chorus goes, "Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A brighter day is coming to those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way." I told our sister my title for this session is Hold On. Hold On. Now, we believe in the eternal security of the believer. We surely do. When we receive Christ as Savior, He gives everlasting life. If you can lose it next week, next month, next year, it's not everlasting. We believe in the eternal security of the believer, but you know as I do, there are those who profess to be Christians, those who are in Christendom, who don't believe that. They believe you can lose your salvation. I remember some years ago when we lived in Memphis, I was engraving plates, and one of the fellow engravers said to me, we'd been praying for him, and he said to me, he said, "Eddie, I want you to know I was just recently saved." I said, "Thank the Lord." "Yes," he said, "praise God. Praise God." He said, I just hope I won't lose it." I said, "What? What?" "Yeah," he said, "I just hope I won't." I said, "Don't you believe that He gives everlasting life?" He kind of hesitated a little. "Well, yes." But he was saying in essence that though it's by God's grace that we come to the cross and receive Christ as Savior as a free gift, it's up to us thereafter to hold on to our salvation. I said, "Jack, do you really believe you can lose your salvation?" "Yes, sir." I said, the engraving place was right there on Front Street in Memphis. And he was helping me to pull a hand proof on the plate that I had engraved. I said, "Jack, you believe, can you say, look at me now, can you say right now you're saved?" "Yes," he said, "I'm saved." "You can say that?" "Yes, sir, praise God," he said, "I'm saved." I said, "Suppose you were to walk out of this door here onto Front Street and you attempt to cross the street, but before you do, you see a woman walking down the other side of the street, scantily clothed, and you look at her in lust. And while you're attempting to cross the street, a bus hits you. Have you lost your salvation? He said, yes, sir. I said, explain that to me. Well, he said, because I sinned. I looked at the woman and lust, according to your illustration here, and the bus hit me, and I died that way. I said, all right, let's just suppose that were the case. Where would you be right now? He said, I'd be in hell. I said, on what basis did you use the word saved back on Front Street in Memphis when you told me you were saved? On what basis were you saying that? Saved from what? You were not saved from yourself. You continued to sin. You were not saved from hell. Here you are. How were you using that word? On what basis were you saying you were saved? If using the word means anything at all, it means I'm saved from sin, I'm saved from myself, I'm saved from eternal damnation. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. I remember Adlai Pham Fanous, an Egyptian brother, a dear, dear brother, and a dear friend. He was telling about a man who was saved, talking to a professing Christian who believed he could lose his salvation. And the Christian said, yes, but we're in the hand of Christ. John chapter 10, the Savior said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And the other man said, yeah, but we could take ourselves out of his hand. And the man said, oh, I know that's not the case because I'm one of his fingers. We are members of his body. We believe in the eternal security. But those who don't believe it would say in one way or another, you must hold on. You must hold on to the end. Hold on to be saved. Well, listen, we do read and understand that the Lord is holding on to us believers. And it's His hold on us that gives us eternal security. It is our hold on Him that gives us joy. And I'm going to say happiness. I realize that word indicates it depends on what happens, but I'm going to say joy and happiness. So His grip on us makes us safe and secure. Our grip on Him makes us joyous, makes us happy in the things of the Lord. So we make that distinction. You know as well as I do that Satan is ever seeking to get the advantage of us. This would be what in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, is it? That he's ever seeking to get the advantage of us. He wants to despoil us from our wealth in Christ. He wants to divert us from our walk with Christ. He wants to disable us in our warfare for Christ. He wants to ultimately disqualify us in winning souls and thus receiving rewards for Christ. You know as well as I do that many who profess to be Christians are not holding on. A brother and I were talking, and the question was put to me, as it has been put to me so many times, and as I've wrestled with it myself. Why aren't we seeing more people? I don't know. We can say, oh, people want entertainment and all of that. That's part of it. But I think overall, thank God for the exceptions where people are being saved and groups of Christians are growing. Thank God for that, mainly in places like China. I understand, I don't have the figures, statistics, but I understand churches are growing in China more so than the United States. And according to Michael Youssef on Leading the Way, a number of Muslims here and there are being saved. Would to God we would see more of it here in our assemblies. But I don't know. We live in a society that people don't want any commitment. They want to be laid back, very casual. And if it's convenient, I might come. But if there's anything else going on I deem more important, then I won't be there. Well, so many who profess to be Christians are not holding on. Maybe I told you about Sammy Alberry's boat. Man of War Cay, it's known as Man of War Key, C-A-Y, but like the Florida Keys. But Man of War Cay and Abaco, they suffered a lot of destruction. Marsh Harbor was almost wiped off of the map. Someone from Nassau called us day before yesterday saying that about 200 people from Little Man of War went to Spanish Wells over in Eleuthera. Others went to Nassau because the homes were completely gone, everything gone. But Man of War Cay down through the years have been noted, not so much now, but in the past with the old boats, wooden boats. Man of War boats are known around the world. And Sammy Alberry was a boat builder. And I rode in his boat. He had several different boats, but this one boat I rode in a number of times. Twice mine. I asked him one day, I said, I know the story we used to use in Bible school about the little boy who had a boat twice his, but why your name? So he told me he built this Man of War boat, wooden boat. Nice one. And he finally sold it to an American over in Marsh Harbor. And he said after a couple of years, he and Arlene and his wife were over there one day, and he saw this boat docked at a certain place there, and it was tilted, and water was in it, and hadn't been kept up, you know. He said it looked old. He said to his wife, I believe that's my boat. And so he finally looked up the owner. Yeah, the owner, he wasn't concerned about it anymore, didn't want it. So Sammy bought it back. Twice mine. The last time I rode in his boat, it was thrice mine. I said, Sammy, used to be twice mine, now it's thrice mine. What happened? He said, Eddie, I went down to the creek. If you look at a map of Man of War, you'd see an island, but they call it a creek that goes through where all the boats are harbored, anchored. He said, I went down to the creek to get my boat. It wasn't there. I checked with the family. Nobody had seen my boat. I checked all around the island. Nobody knew anything about my boat. It was gone. I think it was about 2 weeks later. He received a call from a man from Bimini. He was on his yacht boat. He and some others going out deep sea fishing. And they saw this boat drifting in the water. Sammy's boat drifted from Man of War to Bimini over 200 miles. So they retrieved the boat, checked the registration, called Man of War. Are you the Sammy Alberry, the owner of this boat? Yes, I am. The man with the yacht boat took it to Hole in the Wall, which is the southern tip of Abaco, where Sammy could come over to Marsh Harbor and down the island to get his boat. It cost him quite a bit to get it back. Thrice mine. But drifting, over 200 miles. You know, drifting can be, it is a quiet thing. It can be an easy thing. It's a dangerous thing. And you know as well as I do, there are so many who profess to be Christians, profess to be saved, and we're not exempt. They just seem to be drifting with the tide. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. You know, I marvel whenever I, well, when I read and study the Word of God, I marvel. But especially at a portion like this. This is Paul's last letter. He's about to be beheaded. And he's writing his last letter. You know, I've often thought, now if I were a reporter and I could go to that prison, and I've been to that prison there in Rome where Paul was, if I could go there and interview him and say, now, Mr. Paul, you're about to die. Do you have any regrets? I mean, would you do anything differently if you had it to do over again? Now, keep in mind, Paul was an old man physically. He was a very spiritual man, so far as God is concerned. He was a condemned man circumstantially. But if I were to ask him, do you have any regrets? I mean, if you had it to do over, would you do anything differently? Look at what he says in let's pick up at verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Some years ago, in trying to better memorize the verse, I divided some thoughts here into little couplets of three words. He said, I suffer things. I'm not ashamed. I know Christ. I have believed. I am persuaded. He is able. And so on. But now, look on down to verse 13. In writing to young Timothy, he said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. When you go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, you need not turn there. I'll read it for you. Titus chapter 1 verse 9, he said to Titus, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Hold fast the complete revelation of faith. You know, I have said to so many people, and I know this sounds like boasting, but our boast is in the Lord. Our boast is in the Word of God. But from such meetings as ours, down through the years, have come some of the best preachers and Bible teachers in the world. I say that unequivocally. Praise God for that. It's all of Him. But we are so blessed to be taught the Word of God. I have talked to people who've left assemblies later to hear them say, well, I've gone different places, but I don't get the Bible teaching that I used to get in the assembly. And I've heard people say, well, I do really miss the Lord's Supper. Well, we are so privileged. We've been taught so much, and I guess in one sense, we know quite a bit. There's so much we don't know, but we know quite a bit. Let us hold fast the complete revelation of faith. You know as well as I do, there are those in Christendom who disbelieve the virgin birth. I don't know how anybody could be saved who didn't believe in the virgin birth and who would deny the deity of Christ. I don't know how they could be saved. But there are those who disbelieve his virgin birth. They deny his deity. They disclaim his miracles. They discount the necessity of his sacrificial death. They doubt his bodily resurrection. They discard any thought of his literal return for his own in the rapture. And they go so far as to say that it's not necessary for a person to be born again. Dear Brother Lehman Strauss, he was a friend. And we were in a social gathering in Burlington on one occasion. And he was telling us about being at a conference. I assumed it was Word of Life up in Scroon Lake, New York. He was one of the speakers, and Vance Havner, dear Brother Vance Havner, he was from Greensboro, by the way. I used to see him around town when I was visiting in the hospitals. Vance Havner. Vance Havner was one of the speakers. And Lehman said that there was a buzz all about the conference grounds over an article in Christianity Today by Norman Vincent Peale. And I believe this was the article in which he said it was not necessary for a person to be born again. So Lehman Strauss said there was quite a buzz around the camp. And they were sitting at the breakfast table discussing this article when Brother Vance Havner walked in and sat down at the table. Now you might know, maybe you've heard him on radio, Brother Havner had a southern twang from western North Carolina. He was ordained when he was about 12 years old. But he had a nasal twang, I'll say. So when he sat down to the table, they said, Brother Havner, have you read this article by Norman Vincent Peale? And if so, what do you think about it? Brother Havner said, well, boys, when I got awake early this morning, I read some of the Apostle Paul. He said, and before coming down to breakfast, I read this article by Norman Vincent Peale. And I'm telling you, boys, Paul was appealing, but Peale was appalling. He was a quick-witted man, let me tell you. Peale was appalling. No need to be born again. But you know there are those in Christendom who deny some of these foundational truths. Let's hold fast the complete revelation of faith. Not only so, let us hold fast our confession of Christ. Hold fast the complete revelation of faith. Hold fast our confession of Christ. You're in 2 Timothy. Turn to the right a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And come down to verse 14. The writer, possibly Paul, wrote, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, maybe you have a translation where it has, let us hold fast our confession. Or maybe it's in the margin. That's what it should be. Let us hold fast our confession. So hold fast to the complete revelation of faith. Hold fast our confession of Christ. We are to know in whom we have believed. We are to know why we have believed. We are to know what we have believed. Our house is on the market. It's been on the market for over a month now, a little over a month. We'll be glad to sell it to you. 2146, heron, two R's, the bird has only one. Every day we see a blue heron on the lake. Every day. 2146 Heron Road, Burlington. Just Google it in and you'll see pictures of the house. We'll sell it to you. But we feel the need to move to Wilmington to be near Becky and the grandchildren so they can begin taking care of us. It's coming. While we were in Wilmington, the real estate agent there from Figure Eight Island, not that we're going to get a house on Figure Eight Island. Don't get that idea. Lots over there, $1 and $2 million. Yeah, that's what I said. But the real estate agent works on Figure Eight Island at the real estate company there. She was showing us a house in Porter's Neck area. And as we went through this house and we have our eye on it, I told the owner, he's praying that he would sell his. We're praying we'll sell ours. I said, Jim, I hope we sell ours first. But the real estate agent was showing us through the house, and we went into one room, and here was a Bible open. And I could tell it was not for show. It was not for show. But his Bible was open. There were some notes and so on. He teaches at Scotts Hill Baptist Church, a big Baptist church there in the Scotts Hill area. So after we had seen the house, we came out to the walkway. Now, the owner is not to have contact with the potential buyer. I mean, you go through the agent. But he saw us there, and he's flipping another house nearby, and so he stopped and came up to us and introduced himself. We talked a little bit. I said, Jim, I said, when we went through your house, I saw a Bible open there and some notes. And I wasn't trying to be nosy, but I couldn't help but see it. He said, yeah. He said, I teach some at the church, Scotts Hill Baptist. I said, I want to ask you something. When were you saved? When did you receive Christ as your Savior? When were you born again? He said 2005. Well, the next day, Louise and I were going to head back to Burlington, 3 hours. I said, I want to go by that house on high tide. And I want to take a picture of the back. If we wind up getting that house, I might have to build a sunroom on it. I promised Louise she'd have her sunroom. We have two where we are. So when I got to the house, the garage door was open, the truck was there, and I said, well, Louise, the owner is here, and I really shouldn't, maintain this contact with him. I said, but I should at least let him know I'm going to go in the backyard and take some pictures of the back where I think a sunroom should be. Very nice house. So I said, I'll have to go to the door and let him know. Jim came to the door, and we stood there and talked a while. Kept calling me, sir, sir. Say, he must have been a military man. Mr. Schwartz, sir. He said, I want to thank you for the way you talked to me yesterday. I'm telling you like it is. I said, oh? He said, I want to thank you for the way you came straight across. You came straight to the point. You asked me when I was saved, when I had trusted Christ, when I was born again. He said, Mr. Schwartz, sir, you don't hear a lot of people who profess to be Christians talking like that today. That's what he said. He said, you came straight to the point in asking me that. And he said, I want to thank you for that. I appreciated that. I said, well, Jim, I appreciate you sharing that with me to know that you're my brother in Christ. So I'm assuming that when you built this house 2 years ago, you dedicated it to the Lord. He said, absolutely. I said, well, I thought that would have been the case. I don't know that we'll get that house. We have our eye on it. But hold fast our confession of Christ. I must hurry on. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's pick up at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You know, that's more easily read than experienced. Give thanks for everything? Because we know all things work together for good. At any rate, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast. Here we are. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So we are to hold fast to the complete revelation of truth. We are to hold fast to our confession of Christ. Never be ashamed of him. We are to hold fast to all that conforms to his will. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, we read, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, and they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And you can quote Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, can't you? For we are his workmanship, his poema, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hold fast to all that conforms to the will of God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. I must hurry, I've got 4 minutes. Hebrews chapter 3. And come down to verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hold fast our confidence in his coming again. He is coming again. We were reminded earlier from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And Brother Durwood gave a brief explanation. Nautical terms are used there. Here's a larger vessel trying to get into safe harbor, but there's a storm. There's a strong wind. There are the rocks and the shoals. And there's the danger of this boat breaking to pieces. So a smaller vessel will go out with the anchor and secure the anchor within the harbor. And then all the larger ship has to do is slowly winch its way in. I was giving that at a ladies' meeting at Forest Oaks Country Club some years ago. And this lady came up to me so excited after my message, and she said, oh, Brother Schwartz, I know exactly what you're talking about. She said, we have a yacht boat, and there have been times I had to take the anchor into safe harbor and secure it there, and we'd slowly winch our way in. Well, Christ has already entered within the veil. And because he's there, we are as good as there. We have a living, blessed hope. and he's coming for us one day. I trust you live in the expectation of that, the anticipation of that. Hold fast our confidence in his coming again. And let us hold fast our combined treasures in Christ. My time is, I got 1 minute. Hold fast our combined treasures in Christ. Revelation 3 and 11, the Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Don't be disqualified in this Christian race. Not that we lose our salvation, we would lose our crowns, our rewards. Let us hold fast our confidence in his coming again and hold fast our combined treasures in Christ. Hold fast. So it's his hold on us that gives us eternal security. It's our hold on him and the word of God that gives us joy. That is our strength. And I trust we Christians will hold fast. Well, our time is gone. So we'll give thanks for the food. Thank you for having me here home once again. I'll tell Louise what you said. And we do appreciate your prayers for us. And your ongoing support, we surely do. It means so much. Father, once again we thank you and praise you for who you are and for your love to us, for your well-beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, for all that he is to you, and for all that he is to us, and for all that we are and have and will enjoy in the coming day in him. We thank you and praise you. We pray for our fellow believers here at Grace Gospel Chapel. We pray for those who give leadership to this testimony. We pray, Father, for spiritual growth. We pray for numerical growth. We pray that we'll see precious souls saved and Christians going on well in the things of the Lord. So we pray for us here and for this meeting overall. And now as we go into the other room to enjoy this delicious meal, we thank you for those who work behind the scenes to provide it and make it possible for us to partake of it. And for our time over the meal and for the food, we give you thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.